This is Scott Verguin at KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the line Linda and Phil Waste of Military Families Speak Out, and got them on the phone out there in Georgia. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. We're doing
good. Good morning, Scott.
Great. Well, you two just returned from a trip to Germany.
Yes, sir.
Visit one of your...
Our youngest son and his wife and their first baby. We just met our grandson this last couple of weeks. We were over there. He's heading back to Iraq for his second deployment in the next few days. So we went over there to see him before he left.
So is he stationed in Germany then?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. So when is he actually supposed to be on the ground in Iraq?
Well, I can't actually give the date, but it's within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, and that's, of course, this is something that you can, if one can not become comfortable with, but certainly familiar with. You have another son or grandson in Iraq right now as we speak.
We have his older brother is there right now, has been there since last January, and he's not scheduled to come home until January of this year.
Oh, so he's putting in at least a year tour.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not his first one, right?
No, this is his second tour and also the one who's returning.
Yeah, he was supposed to get out in January, and they stopped lost him until April to keep him in a bit longer.
This till April of 2006?
Yeah.
Okay, but hopefully that doesn't mean he'll stay in Iraq till April.
No.
Have no idea.
Actually, the way that works is they have to have 90 days in when they come home. So that's why they stop lost them, is that they have to be 90 days here in the U.S. after they return from a deployment. And that's why they stop lost him. Otherwise, he would have left 3 months early. You know, they don't do that anymore like they used to do it. You're there for the full time with your unit, your brigade, your battalion.
So. Mm-hmm. So you have a total of five children or grandchildren that are in the military?
Three sons and two grandkids, yes.
Okay. And any, what's the status of the other three at this point, in vis-a-vis Iraq anyway?
Well, our granddaughter, who is stationed at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, is to return to Iraq in May or June. We spoke to our oldest boy that's in the military just this last week, and he told us that the job he's been doing is being discontinued, and they're moving him a year early, and he's up for promotion, and depending on his promotion, that will depend on where he'll be going, and he'll either be going to Korea or back to Iraq himself. So we're kind of just kind of on hold.
Yes. So this is, you have pretty much had, one of your children or grandchildren in Iraq right from the beginning.
Yes, we have. And two of them had served in Kosovo shortly before they were sent to Iraq. And we have had someone there except for a brief period of 4.5 months since this war started.
Oh, it leaves me speechless, to tell you the truth. I mean, I knew this before, but hearing it again, it's you're the ultimate military family, in a sense, here. How many of these, if any, of your family are any of them consider themselves career military at this point?
Yes, the older one that's in has been in for 14 years, and he missed the first Gulf War, just barely. He's debating on what he's going to do. I mean, he's put all this time in, but he's sure unhappy with what's going on at this point in the military, and has been really torn, you know, about staying in or getting out.
He's had a real good career, 14 years in, and he'll probably be promoted to E8 this next month in December. There's a good chance that he will. And that, depending on what he gets assigned, he'll either be a first sergeant or a master sergeant.
Yeah, I think we hear from various quarters that this particular war and the policy behind it has really tried to push the commitment of a lot of career, excuse me, a lot of career officers and so on.
They're having to promote a lot of NCOs early because so many of the NCOs that have reached their retirement and have gone through stop loss already are getting out. They say no more of this. And so there's a big vacuum in the military. And you hear this large sucking sound as our army disappears.
Yeah.
And
if you don't mind, Sharon, what kinds of things can you share that you've been hearing from your sons at this point, but all those in your family who've been there?
Well, not much, because we really don't speak for our kids.
Well, we can share a few comments, though. Mm-hmm. That would be all
okay.
Right. But without total particulars on who, what, and what.
Sure,
but,
sure.
They all know it's about oil, and are pretty disgusted with that.
Yeah, that's... go ahead, Phil.
I'm really at a loss to know what this war is about. I originally thought it was about oil, and then, of course, we were told it was about the democratization of the Iraqi people and the end of tyranny in Iraq and WMDs, and just the list goes on. It's an endless list. I pretty much... has come to my thoughts that maybe the reason for this war is a little more American, if you might say. It may have something more to do with the military complex and the corporate pressures to make a profit. Not that any one of the military in the Pentagon are just, you know, outright pro-war. But all these pressures together, pushing on our government, and you get these swinging dicks from Texas going into Washington, and they have this real machismo, macho attitude. Nobody can push us around, and we're going to show the world what the hell we can do. All that combined, we end up in war. And what's happening in Washington today, We finally are seeing, the Republicans are calling it stunts, but what I'm seeing is our legislature's finally doing their job. You've got Senator Kerry speaking out against the war, asking for the soldiers to be brought home. You've got senators and Congress people that spoke out against this war from the very beginning. Now, those are the true heroes. Those are the ones that saw through all this crap and were against the war from the very beginning. And now the others are falling in line after all, what, how many years we've been in Iraq in a preemptive war on a sovereign nation. Now they're falling in line and starting to do their jobs, and they're starting to investigate some of mismanagement of our government and excessive use of power by certain peoples in our government, and they're starting to do something. I see a definite move to ending this war. I think our trip, our cross-the-country trip, our speaking out, I think there was a lot of people out there that knew inside in their hearts and their minds that this was wrong, but they just didn't have a voice. They didn't have they felt isolated because of the pressures of this administration and the right-wing media that if you speak out against this war, you're a traitor. And when they saw others, especially military families like Linda and myself, speaking out against this war, and the others on the northern and the central trip, and the march in Washington, where somewhere over 300,000 people marched on Washington, I think it emboldened a lot of the people in the U.S. and even our legislators to actually think back and start responding to this terrible war we're in. This preemptive strike we made on Iraq is the most un-American thing that we could possibly have done. It goes completely against the grain. And it's time that we stop this war. Sorry.
No need to apologize.
And you know, and I'm real cynical about this anymore. I don't believe that our Democratic folks up there in Washington are doing it because it's the right thing to do. I feel they're doing it because they realize the pressure's on, and I mean, they waited. Okay, Libby's been indicted. There's more investigation going on. There may be more indictments, but they waited. They waited till it was safe for them, and that disturbs me more than anything. I've really lost faith in our government.
Yeah, it's not what most of us would consider the true definition of leadership.
No. No, it's safe now.
Right.
It's safe now, and they want to be reelected.
As Phil said, there's a few that have been against it from the beginning, which, of course, is one of the baffling things that, well, a majority, unfortunately, of Congress, both houses, went for this whole thing and supported Bush's march off to war. How was it that just down the hall there were people who could see right through it and you know, and lots of people all over the world could see that this was, could see what we're now finally seeing, beginning to see some of the truth actually eke out into the press.
Yes.
And I think we're going to see more. I think it's, now that, you know, once the ball starts rolling.
We've heard a number of people over the last several months say, you know, well, I voted for him, and mm-hmm. I don't know what I was thinking. It was a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And we were listening to a talk show yesterday when we were in Florida, and it was Sean Hannity's show, and he had some guest person on there, and he was going on and on about, you know, people saying how the big corporations are the ones reaping the benefits from this war. And he actually said, you think Halliburton's the big winner financially? You're wrong. It's Michael Moore. He has profited more than Halliburton from this war with his film, Fahrenheit 9/11. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it.
I heard that and I thought, how on earth? And you know, and there are people out there that are going to hear that and go, well, yeah.
Yeah. What gets me, it just slays me, is, well, first, Michael Moore's movie wasn't about the war, it was about the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And all these right wing, we do listen to right wing because how else are you going to know what the enemy is doing?
Right.
And we listen to them go on and on about Michael Moore and the lies and so on and so forth, but I haven't seen a single lawsuit for slander yet.
No. Very true.
It's, you know, come on, guys, put up or shut up.
Right. In fact, it's, I don't know if there's been any lawsuits for slander going the other direction for some of the things that people like, what am I trying to think of, Ann Coulter and people like that have said, but, you know, it's...
That's a work of art, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. That's almost hilarious, isn't it? If this whole thing wasn't so tragic, it's Moore. I mean, they have to make it sound like... Because there is that question. It's kind of like, who do you listen to? Who do you believe? And who's got what invested here? This runs through my mind a lot, I know, that you got... Okay, the Bush administration, the military-industrial complex, as people call it, who profits from this situation? I mean, do people like you and I, are we profiting from being against the war? I don't get that. I mean,
Scott, there's a military complex that's very, very powerful in this country. The Pentagon right now is seeking more power from the State Department. The ability to negotiate with foreign countries to train troops without having to go through the State Department. We have to think about military people. I'm very pro-military, but military people are duty-bound.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a job, and they have a mindset of their own. And they need this mindset. We need them to have this mindset, but we really do not need them in our diplomacy. We do not need them setting the policy for this country. and enforcing it.
Right.
We need our legislators to do that. We need to put people in there that are actually going to do the job they're being paid for.
Yes, well, civilian control of the military is a very vital part of
extremely vital
of how this is supposed to work.
Yes.
Well, they're supposed to do their damn job is what they're supposed to do, and they've abdicated that responsibility. And they've got to take up the mantle and start doing it again.
Okay, so here's the question that's, I know, probably hard to answer, but I know I've asked you this before, but I mean, it comes back down to the personal. How do the two of you make it day to day, knowing what you know, and then also having the commitment that you have in terms of your own children and grandchildren that are so personally involved in this fiasco?
It's so difficult. And when you talk to people who really have no involvement personally, it's they can't relate to it. One of our sons, while we were in Germany, sent us an email that a colonel that he had worked with had died 2 days before from an IED.
Yeah.
And we read that email, and then we did not share it with our son, who's there in Germany now, and his wife with him getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when you hold back from things that are so difficult to protect others. And I did it for my son. Phil did it for his son and for his wife. But the people in this country need to wake up and understand what this is all about and who is making the sacrifice. And I've said that over and over in the last few months, that it's we the people that are making the sacrifice. Day to day, I never thought I'd be dealing with something like this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
right now, it must feel endless.
Oh, it does. It does. It's just,
I think military families bear the brunt of this. I think our government needs to use military force as a last resort, but it has to be a last resort. It has to be in defense of this country. We have extremely capable people to do diplomatics with tremendous diplomatic skills to handle a lot of this. We had inspectors going in and out of Iraq who made reports and they were ignored. We're not using the UN to its maximum. As a matter of fact, our present administration has been cutting it off as much as they can. We're supposed to be civilized at this time in our development, human development, and yet they resorted to a preemptive war in a foreign sovereign country to solve a problem that you can talk to 100 people and you'll get from it was the oil, it was this, it was that, it was to end a theocracy, to create a theocracy, you know, just on and on and on. There's a million reasons that I could come up with why we're fighting this war, but, you know, not one of them rings the bell. It doesn't come to the level of a preemptive strike on a country. All of them together, maybe, but terrorism could be fought so much simpler than going to war in Iraq. I don't think they've made a dent on terrorism. It doesn't seem to be. There's attacks in Spain, attacks all over the world continuing.
Well, it seems like our own experts are saying that they've actually increased the amount of terrorists and the danger from terrorism.
Well, the biggest danger we have here is everybody being labeled terrorists.
Yes.
You have insurgents that are fighting for their country in Iraq that are being called terrorists and being killed. They're in the midst of a civil war, but I don't think anybody fails to notice that or to understand that. But they're lumping everybody as a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Our own civil war, I guess we would be calling the South a terrorist, huh?
Certainly, yes, under the definition that's being used. In fact, the three of us, in some people's minds, maybe the person who says that Michael Moore is profiting the most off of this would consider us terrorists.
Well, we've heard
those words, that we're terrorists and traitors and so on.
We just flew in from Germany, and it's quite interesting. When we went through customs, we were both searched very thoroughly.
I'm wondering
if we're on a list somewhere.
And that has never, ever happened to us.
But we're two old people with canes, and, you know.
It was interesting talking with our daughter-in-law and different German friends there who were just really astounded by what has happened with our country and the war we're involved in and the flag waving. And my daughter-in-law said to me, she said, "You know, Mom, if we waved the flag over here and kept saying how proud we were to be Germans, we'd be labeled Nazis."
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of hit me when she said that. It was like, wow, that's probably what some people in our government would say was going on. And I've taken to not wearing my little flag anymore. I'm wearing a yellow wristband instead of that. It's so hard because I'm so disgusted with our government and so disappointed in a large portion of Americans that they don't see the global picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a huge apathy in America and has been here for many years.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with George Galloway, the British Member of Parliament.
Yes. Oh, he's incredible.
I just was listening to him last night on alternative radio, and he was talking about the causes for terrorism, and certainly the complacency of our fellow Americans and our not seeing our role, just in some ways, just the way we live and the way we, the kind of privilege we have in general. I'm sure this, I'm not speaking of the people of New Orleans when I say this, in general, the level of consumption and whatever that and how that impact and how that's gained in the world. This goes back to this military-industrial complex, you know, securing of resources and so on, that's one of the big things that feeds resentment, and then resentment, of course, when the people in the Arab and Muslim world see the force that's being used against, you know, the way they see it, it doesn't escape them, doesn't escape their notice, and it's all just, well, crazy.
Our abuse of the world's resources is very obvious to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not escaping them. Our use and abuse of the planet and our denial of global warming and on and on and on is not lost on them. They see it.
I wanted to speak also to something you were saying, Linda, about the flag. I've never really been much of a flag waver. I did have it on my Volkswagen when I was in high school, but I'm the kind of person, and I think a lot of us are like this, I love the Olympics, right? As tainted as they've become, I love them. And I have tears in my eyes when the Stars and Stripes are going up for whatever medal winner, you know?
Yeah.
And but it's been so abused, especially in this last 3, 4, 5 years, that I've gotten to the point where I don't even want to see it. You know, it's like, I don't like how it's been stolen, basically.
And exactly. And that's how I'm feeling. In fact, when we were on the road on the trip for the Bring Them Home Now tour, we drove by, I wish I could remember what state it was in. We drove by a dealership, an auto dealership, and there must have been, 30 to 40 huge flags all the way around the dealership. And I looked at it, and I didn't feel patriotic or proud. I was disgusted. Totally disgusted.
This is to sell cars, right?
Yeah, and I agree with that. And then the bombings in London, when that happened. I remember some commentary on one of the news programs. They were talking, interviewing some people from London who were talking about, you know, how after 9/11, every house in America seemed to have a flag waving, and you didn't see that there, you know, and mm-hmm. that it was just, I don't know, I don't like the way the rest of the world's looking at us mm-hmm. these days, and it doesn't make me proud.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and I understand what you're saying about the tears in your eyes. I mean, when I've always, over the years, whether we've been at a rodeo or watching the Olympics or whatever, it's always brought tears to my eyes, too, and I've always been, you know, proud to sing the Star Spangled Banner, but this so-called patriotism that's going on in our country right now, I think is...
nationalism.
Yeah, nationalism is very unhealthy.
Right, and it does appear to be melting away.
Yeah.
Perhaps slower than some of us would hope, but...
There is a movement back to the center. There is a decided movement by certain people in the extreme right wing evangelical area that all they've ever cared about was stacking the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw their power come out in the last 2 weeks when the president appointed
Harriet Myers.
Right.
And then actually withdrew it. Now, how much pressure do you think was applied to make him do that?
Well, you know, there was a lot of pressure, although there are some of us that may be super skeptical that wonder if she wasn't thrown out there as a sacrifice so they could move in the direction that they've gone now.
But, you know,
there's all kinds of ploys.
That is a point that I hadn't done.
but I mean, that says more to the fact that we're in the position of why would we believe anything, trust anything that's being said or being done? I mean,
I have my own pet theory. And my own pet theory is that they've made such a big issue of abortion, but I don't see them valuing human life.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the right to life, and yet they back this war, or at least the people that are in this war. I really think when you strip all of the excess away, that their main goal, their absolute bottom line, was to stack the Supreme Court so they could turn America into a Christian theocracy.
Mm.
And they want to get religion back in schools, they want to get it into government, they want to change America and make it a Christian Muslim country, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was their goal from the beginning, and I think a lot of these things that they've championed were all for that goal. And you look at the fight they're putting on for the Supreme Court, I hope our senators and our congressmen, even those that used their support to get into power, realize the danger of moving in that direction and finally get some backbone and say, no, we're not going there.
Well, it does seem that whether thought out, planned or not, that we're moving more and more in the direction of polarization of our country. But I still, maybe it's naivete or whatever you would call it, but I still believe that regardless even of what happens on the Supreme Court, although it's extremely important, it's us, it's the American people that will in the end decide, even if it's, you know, even if we have to fall back a few steps and keep going, moving forward, that will decide what shape this country takes.
Exactly. And Phil and I have that discussion every now and then, and I tell him, you know, we do have those checks and balances, and I have to believe in my heart that if things go too far to the right, that there's enough of us who will stand up and say no more, no more, and do whatever it takes to make the changes necessary.
Well, I know the right really dislikes legislating from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
They speak against it continually, but then they've spoke against a lot of things that they're doing in office right now.
Right, right.
And so I don't hesitate for a minute to think that they would legislate from the bench. And it's a funny thing about the law of the land. you have to obey it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can bring full pressure, full force of the American government down on you
mm-hmm.
if you don't.
Right.
And things could get pretty dicey.
Right. Well, that's that is certainly true.
For a while, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on a half an hour here, so we probably should wrap this up.
Well, anyway, hey, let me wrap up our trip.
Okay.
We had a wonderful trip. It cost us a lot emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
The price we felt we had to pay to cause or support what's happening at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was effective. By itself, it was just a small contribution to what's going on. We didn't, in our by ourselves, cause this to happen. I think there was a lot of people that, even in government, that were looking for some support. They had this way of not stepping out and leading
mm-hmm.
the charge. They kind of jumped to the front after everybody else is leading the way. But I think it was a successful trip. I think what Cindy Shan started and...
ignited, not started.
No.
Ignited. Oh, yeah. I made that mistake before, haven't I? No. What she reignited this peace movement that was across the country. Thousands and thousands of people that had worked so hard and tirelessly. But her spark... caused something to happen, and I think it culminated in Washington and was highly successful.
Well, I agree. I must admit, though, when you started out, I thought you were talking about your trip to Germany.
I did, too, when he started out. That was a wonderful time that
right.
we spent with our...
I must say, I would say that trip to Germany was equally important as the Bring Them Home Now tour, at least for you personally.
You were asking a little earlier, and I'll make this quick, but you were asking about what it's like for us living with this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, hard something. Hugging your son mm-hmm. goodbye. And hoping that all will go well, and knowing that there's always a possibility that's the last time you'll see them, you know?
Yeah.
He hugged me so tight, and he backed down the stairs watching me, you know? And it's just, it's indescribable. But, anyway, it was a wonderful trip. We met our beautiful new grandson, and he says he'll be back there for cake and coffee next year at the mm-hmm. same time.
Right. Well, and, you know, I don't know if it's any consolation. I suppose it isn't. Maybe it even makes it more difficult. But you know for sure that your son is thinking the same thing you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's, standing up straight and keeping a good attitude, but it can't help but go through your mind.
Yeah, it's in their mind.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, they know the reality. I mean, he's been there before. He was there 16 years before.
Right. I don't. To me, I would see it as like going there and having to hold your breath for a year or for however long you're there. That's just,
And what most of the kids, they're young men that we've been talking to, and women that say we're there. And what we do every day is work to stay alive and keep our buddies alive.
Right.
And that's, that says a lot right there.
Right. That says a lot. Well, I have more things I want to ask you. I mean, what's been happening in the news just last week, I guess it was, when we unfortunately hit the number of 2,000 U.S. service people killed in Iraq. And it's already... leaped up to this morning, it's 2,036, I think it is. It's, it's mind-boggling. I know Cindy Sheehan has been up, I think she got arrested. They're doing vigils at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This is leading up to, I guess, asking the two of you what plans do you have for the immediate future in terms of your own activities? I know you just got back home, and you probably haven't quite settled in yet, but...
Well, yeah, that's true, and we've been talking about it. I mean, we're planning on going back to Washington in December.
December?
That's okay. The plan at this point. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked to anyone since we came back involved with MFSO, so we need to make some phone calls and see what is going on. And we have some contact numbers for people here in Georgia. But since our Washington, getting back from Washington because of our own involvement with things with family and our traveling, we really have not been involved in anything. And we missed so much news-wise while we were in Germany. So I did not know about Cindy being back at the White House and getting arrested again. But I'm glad she's there, and we're ready to make some more noise ourselves.
Oh, good. Well, actually, it seems like Cindy's everywhere because she's popping up in the news all over the place. She writes these wonderful pieces that I know I've read several times on my radio show. There's obviously what we need, and what we really do have is a lot of Cindy Sheehan. There's a lot of people everywhere speaking, and people doing vigils and demonstrations and pressuring congressional leaders and so on, and it just has to keep amping up. Yeah.
And her voice is being heard everywhere.
Yeah.
When we were in Germany, and people were asking us about what we'd been doing, and we told them, well, gosh, have you heard of Cindy Sheehan? And they were all like, yeah, you were with her? I mean, they were... she's known everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Worldwide. So that made me really happy to hear that.
We've been seeing CNN announcements, the international CNN,
mm-hmm.
and apparently on the 13th or 14th or so, they're going to have voices against the war. What did they call it?
CNN special, I think.
It's a CNN
Sunday.
Special.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be
international, so it's probably everywhere but in the U.S.
Well,
exactly.
I'm sure it's going to be on CNN here too.
Okay.
This next Sunday. It's I know they do those hour specials, and I can't think what they're called now anymore. But it's about the war in Iraq and the voices here against and for, I think is what it's going to be. So we don't get cable, but I'm going to try and get somebody to record it for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see that or hear about it. I don't have TV.
Yeah. Well, we didn't for many
that?
Years either, so
yes.
I understand how that
Yeah, well, I get, obviously, most of my stuff off the Internet. And,
it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, you have to pick and choose, obviously. All right, well, it's been fantastic talking to the two of you again. It's great to check back in with you and hear how things are going. And I am still, in the back of my mind, I'm not sure how it'll happen, but I sure hope we can get you and others out here on the West Coast, just looking for the kind of the right connection, the right...
I hope so, too. I think that would be such a wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for spending your time with me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's so good to talk to you again, too, Scott.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back to the country, and let's keep fighting to, what do we say, take our country back?
Take our country back, you bet.
I think it's happening.
And bring them home now. Let's do it.
Yes, very good. Thank you, and talk to you again soon, hopefully.
I hope so.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye.